And it's the fourth day of the Trump administration, so of course we now want to focus on the midterm elections of 2018. Senate Democrats are because they may be in trouble. Nathan Gonzalez is the editor and publisher of Inside Elections with Nathan Gonzalez, and he's the elections analyst for Roll Call. Nathan, give us the picture of the landscape for the elections of 2018, which Democrats have been looking at since the day after this election.
Right. I mean, for some people, the idea of talking about the next election is simply appalling. No one wants to go through another election. But the fact is that those 2018 midterm elections are already happening now. There are already candidates announcing their bids, like State Treasurer Josh Mandel in Ohio, a Republican. And a number of these Democratic incumbents have reelection on their minds as they take votes in this Congress. And the initial map is very good for Republicans or potentially poor for Democrats, depending on which way you want to look at it. Of the 33 states that have seats up for re-election in 2018, Democrats are defending 25 of them. Republicans are only defending 8. And you might think, well, why is it so out of balance? It's because 2012 was actually a good Democratic year. The president won re-election. Democrats picked up seats in the House and the Senate. The consequence of having a good year is you have to defend all those seats 6 years later. And
right.
That's where we are today.
Right. And you mentioned, okay, 33 different Senate seats, 25 Democrats, 8 Republicans up for re-election. But 10 Democratic senators are up for re-election in states that Donald Trump carried, which is going to have a big impact, as it did, as you said, for the Democrats after Obama won so handily. So you have a 9-point competitiveness scale that you use to rate the races. What's that about?
So we rate the races based on the likelihood that they will flip partisan control from toss-up, you know, the most competitive races to tilt, lean, likely, and all the way to solid, which are the least competitive. And right now, of those, you mentioned those 10 Democratic states where Donald Trump won, we have already 4 of them in toss-up: Joe Manchin in West Virginia, Claire McCaskill in Missouri, Joe Donnelly in Indiana, and Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota. Those aren't the only vulnerable Democrats, but I think those are the most vulnerable at the outset.
Well, you have a graph set out. We'll post it at hereandnow.org. But just go through. I'll start. You've got for the solids holding onto their seats in 2018, Dianne Feinstein in California, Chris Murphy, Connecticut, Tom Carper, Delaware. Continue the list there.
Maria Cantwell of Washington, Ben Cardin of Maryland, Kirsten Gillibrand of New York, Martin Heinrich of New Mexico, Mazie Hirono of Hawaii, Angus King of Maine, who's technically an independent but caucuses with Democrats, Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, Bob Menendez of New Jersey, Chris Murphy of Connecticut, Bernie Sanders of Vermont, again, another independent who caucuses with Democrats, Debbie Stabenow of Michigan, Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, and Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island. On the other side of the ledger, in the solid Republican category, so the ones that look solid for re-election right now, you have John Barrasso of Wyoming, Bob Corker of Tennessee, Ted Cruz in Texas, Deb Fischer in Nebraska, Orrin Hatch in Utah, and Roger Wicker of Mississippi.
Okay. Then you've got the likely and the leaning. What are those?
In the likely categories, which are races to watch that have a potential of developing into top-tier races, Republican Senator Jeff Flake of Arizona and Democratic Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia.
Okay. Then you've got leaning. Could tumble.
In the leaning categories, which I think are going to be competitive races that we're going to see both parties invest money in, on the Republican side, Dean Heller of Nevada, Democratic Senators Sherrod Brown of Ohio, and Bob Casey Jr. of Pennsylvania.
Okay. Tilt? What's tilt?
I don't like to throw every race into toss-up. And so races that I think are going to be competitive but are there's still a lot to happen for them. Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin, Democrat Bill Nelson of Florida, and Democrat John Tester of Montana, I think are in that tilting category.
Okay. We'll talk about another thing that a Politico points out that these Democrats have to consider. They don't all have the same concerns with their voters. Joe Manchin in West Virginia, you have him in a toss-up state. He was trying to identify with Trump supporters during Trump's campaign. He was trying to show that he was one of them, but you have others who are very much on the progressive side. So the party has to look at a wide range of people to appeal to.
These Democratic senators, they're going to feel a lot of tension over the next couple of years because in one ear, they're going to be listening to Democratic leadership or the Democratic base who's going to say, we have to oppose Donald Trump on everything. He is an illegitimate president who didn't win the popular vote. And then Joe Manchin's going to hear from out of his other ear the 69% of West Virginia voters who put Donald Trump in the Oval Office. So he has to balance those. But then you have someone like Michigan Senator Debbie Stabenow, who Trump technically won Michigan. He just won it barely. We're not talking with the 69% of West Virginia. So her calculation, I think, is a little bit different. And then you have a whole batch of senators in between those two.
Well, you have Senator Brian Schatz of Hawaii. I love this quote. He says, people agree with us, but they just don't believe in us. In other words, there are Democrats who believe that they have the issues that people care about. We're hearing more and more people who supported Donald Trump saying, well, wait a minute, I don't want to lose my health care, for instance. So there are Democrats who believe that they actually own the issues that Trump ran on, and they just all they need to do is convince people of it.
The election results were muddled enough that you can take whatever you want out of them in order to sleep better at night. Donald Trump was elected president. He won the Electoral College. Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by 2 points. Those are just the basic examples of things that everyone uses to try to make their case of why they're right.
Yeah. You've got two senators on your list, Republican and Democrat, who took part in the 2016 race. Virginia Democrat Tim Kaine, of course, who ran for a VP with Hillary Clinton, and the Republican Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, who tried for president. How are they going to fare?
I think Tim Kaine starts with an advantage. You know, Hillary Clinton won Virginia. Virginia has been trending in the Democrats' favor, I think, over the last few years. But Republicans aren't going to give Tim Kaine a free ride. There's everyone from actually Carly Fiorina could run for the United States Senate in Virginia, former presidential candidate, former California Senate candidate, and other members of the congressional delegation are going to run there. And the thing about Virginia is that there is a gubernatorial election this year. And so that's really taking up all the oxygen in the Commonwealth right now. And so it won't be until later this year where I think attention turns to the Senate race. And Ted Cruz in Texas, you know, Ted Cruz is a very polarizing figure. I don't think Democrats have a chance of defeating him in a general election, but I think he has to be looking over his shoulder at a potential primary from a Republican who doesn't agree with his style. I think it's going to be challenging, though, to find enough Republican primary voters to the left of Ted Cruz in Texas to pull it off, but it's worth watching.
Yeah. This is so important for both parties, 2018. Remind us why.
Well, 2018, because Republicans did so well in 2016 and kind of holding their losses to a minimum, Republicans have an opportunity to get to a filibuster-proof 60-seat majority. Right now, they're at 52. They need to gain 8 seats. Based on the map that we've talked about, the opportunities are there. And so it's critical for both sides, either Republicans getting to that 60 mark, and that has ramifications on the Supreme Court, and that's why Democrats should want to keep Republicans below that number. Mm-hmm. Democrats do have history on their side. Usually the president's party suffers in midterm elections. There have been only, I believe, 4 times that the president's party has gained Senate seats in a midterm election. Usually it's only about a seat or two. Actually, there was one time where the president's party gained at least 8 seats, only one time in the last 100 years, and that was in 1934. And so history is on Democrats' side, but this map is very favorable to Republicans.
Well, but you remind us, though, having said that, there's a caution that there's things like retirements, anything can happen. President Trump's performance in office, I mean, he made a lot of promises, building a wall, banning Muslims. If those don't come through, then it could be a different picture in 2018.
Absolutely. It's early. This is, I think, a baseline analysis, but there is a lot that's going to happen over the next 2 years that are going to impact these elections.
Yeah. Nathan Gonzalez, editor and publisher of Inside Elections, also the elections analyst for Roll Call. So, Nathan, you know, mark your calendar about 2 years. We'll check in with you.
Absolutely. Anytime.